Let's now turn our direction to Lord's Day number 23. Number 23, which is found on page 31 of those same books. We're still under, technically, the heading of the Holy Spirit. We just finished the Apostles' Creed, going line by line, but now it's kind of summarizing, okay, what is this all about? What is this all for? What good does it do you that you believe, you confess all these things, like we did in the Nicene Creed, or in this case, the Apostles' Creed? And it asks us very, very important questions. So let's respond to the questions, starting at 59. What does it help you now that you believe all this? That I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That is, although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and have never kept any of them and am still prone always to all evil, yet God, without any merit of mine, of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never committed nor had any sins, and had myself accomplished all the obedience which Christ has fulfilled for me, if only I accept such benefit with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous by faith only, that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and I can receive the same and make it my own in no other way than by faith only. Congregation, when you go to the doctor and he tells you that he has your test results from the lab, how honest do you want him to be with you? Morally speaking, you would want him to be as honest as possible. Right? If your doctor decided, well, I don't want to hurt this patient's feelings, let me sugarcoat the prognosis here. Well, if you found out that he was lying to you in any way, shape, or form, you will call that doctor an immoral doctor because your health is at risk because he decided to sugarcoat things. You don't know what you can't know what the cure is if you don't know about the disease. What you need from your doctor is an honest assessment. Well, Jesus, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, is our great physician. And he says this: those who have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, those are the ones I have come to save. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The problem is that most of us don't think we need a doctor. Most of us don't think we need Christ to be our physician. They think that they are good enough. They are righteous enough. But Christ gives us an honest assessment, and the reason he came to earth is because we are unrighteous sinners who need to repent and find healing in the blood of Jesus. Question 60 asks the most important question that you can ever here in your entire life. How are you righteous before God? How do you know that when you close your eyes, that last time that you will open your eyes afterwards in heaven, how will you know that you will be accepted by God? And the answer is the words of every Christian who has ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit and transformed by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. And if you meditate on this answer, this paragraph, it's a very personal answer, right? It's biblical. It's focused on Christ as our only hope. And if you ever want to know how to communicate the gospel, whether to yourself or to your children or to your neighbor, what you'll find in this answer are two categories, or two ingredients: the law and the gospel. Both the law and the gospel are held in tandem here. We are convicted of breaking God's law. When we are convicted of breaking God's law, we are That means that we are refusing to love God and to love our neighbor. And when we do that, especially as Christians who have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, we will have a guilty conscience. Our conscience will be pricked. When you said that one thing to your spouse that you knew was out of line, or to your child or to your loved one that you knew was out of anger or frustration, and you wish you could take it back, and then at least in that moment before reconciliation, that kind of, it bugs you, it irks you, maybe even hurts you, because that's what happens when we have a guilty conscience. You wish you could take it back, but just like squeezing a tube of toothpaste, you can't put it back, right? That reconciliation is needed. And when you honestly look at your life, it's not very difficult, it's not going to take very long for you to conclude that you're not just guilty of breaking one of God's commandments, but all of His commandments. Isn't that what James says? You break one of His commandments, you've broken all of His commandments. You have never kept any one of them. You remember the last time you loved the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Me neither. Do you remember the last time that you have loved your neighbor perfectly? Again, me neither. You find yourself agreeing with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. And then he concludes in Romans 7, who will save me from this body of death? Who will save me from this body of death? This is an honest assessment that we have of ourselves and our sin. And that is needed. And the Spirit gives us that honest assessment when we dwell in the Word. We allow the Word to do its work in us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So you need that honest assessment about yourself. But you also need to have an honest assessment of who Christ is, because He is your cure. The best two words in answer 60 are the best words you'll ever find in the Bible. But God. After you hear those words, but God, that's when you will hear the gospel. Every time you read that in Scripture, in the New Testament especially, whenever you see those two words, what follows then is the glorious news of what Christ has done for sinners like you and me. That God, without any merit of mine, but out of pure grace, grants and imputes. The word impute means to credit, to give credit to somebody, even if they don't deserve it. So God graciously credits to our name, to our account, the work that Christ has done in our place. Jesus accomplished what you and I could never have accomplished. God credits us with Christ's perfect satisfaction. And notice that word perfect. And up to this point, all we see is our guilty conscience. We have never done anything perfectly. And then we look at Christ and we see perfection. We see His perfect satisfaction. And that's referring to Christ's sacrifice. The death of Jesus satisfied the penalty that you and I deserved. God credits to us Christ's perfect righteousness. When God opens up the book of life on the final day of judgment and He sees your name, what is He going to find there? Because of Christ, what he's going to read in the book of life is your name, and that this is someone who has loved me with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that he loved his neighbor as himself. That's what we're going to read in the book of life. That's what has been credited to us because of Christ's perfect righteousness. And God credits to us Christ's perfect holiness, meaning God will treat us as if we have never sinned and as if we have always been righteous. This is our glorious justification. This is the work of our great physician, Jesus Christ. And so let me conclude here, because otherwise it's going to be another sermon. But let us never lose sight of the awfulness of our sin But also, brothers and sisters, never lose sight of the glorious work of your Redeemer, of your great physician, Jesus Christ, so that you may find true rest for your souls.